John chapter 4. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Thank you, orchestra members. You may be seated, please. Let's get going. Thank you very much. So good to be a part of chapel again. Each of those folks that sang for us are graduates of our college and serving the Lord. Christiana Turner, serving the Lord in New Mexico. And, of course, we have the opportunity to have Leah over here at the college, and Brother Josh serves downtown. But I'm so grateful for their ministry and their faithfulness to the Lord. And thank you very much for preparing the song this morning. And great to have you back. We have a college because of students. You're the reason we exist. And we thank God for the buildings, but we don't have a college because of buildings. And we have a college because of the Lord Jesus Christ, His eternal purpose in our hearts, and you. And we believe in you. We believe that God has something for you to do that is eternal in the heavens. And so many have preceded us, and I'm so grateful. I came here for the Ohio, started the college 13 years after he came to be the pastor here. And then 13 years later, I showed up as an 18-year-old young man, one of many. The largest our college ever was 1,800 students back in 1984, and God blessed our college in a wonderful way, and it's had some good years and some challenging years, and we're certainly grateful that after 51 years, it's still going on, and it's because of the faithfulness of God, and we certainly thank the Lord for that. We love you. Thank you for the cost, the expense, the energy, and the sacrifice that you have to get to come and to continue training for the Lord. And we admire you. We praise the Lord for each of you. We want the Lord to use the college as a tool in our hearts to help us. It was where God taught me so many things I didn't know I needed to learn. But I learned things in the dormitories. I learned things in the hallways, literally in the classrooms. I learned things on the bus route. I learned things downtown at the church. I learned things here in this room. In the upstairs, in the downstairs, in the basement classrooms. And I learned from people that were out in front. When you evaluate an institution, you've got to evaluate, you know, what's the philosophy of the ministry. And I'm thankful that the philosophy was keeping the main thing, trying to keep our hearts close to the Lord, partnering with Him so that people could hear the gospel of Christ. That's one thing that the Lord taught me early on when I came here. As an 18-year-old young man, I knew a little bit about soul winning, but I learned more so about winning people to Christ. I knew a little bit about the bus ministry. I'd been in the bus ministry before, but I didn't understand the need to continually to invest in people, not just on Saturday and Sunday, but through the week, and communicating with them, writing them notes, and trying to inspire and encourage them to love the Lord that loved me. And I learned a lot of things from that, and I'm grateful for the philosophy that was there. I'm also very grateful for the people that influenced my life. Many now are with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all, but I'm so thankful. I think Brother and Mrs. Pins, Dr. and Mrs. Pins took us, my wife and I, and chaperoned us for a date that we took. But he's still serving Christ and still faithfully reaching people. But there are others like Brother Sprunger. He and his lovely wife took us on another date that we did, and now they live with Jesus and have lived there for several years. But thank God for the influence of God's people that loved us and helped us. Brother Stubblefield's here, and of course I remember years ago him being in the academic office and helping during those days and still doing the same thing, the same way, for the right reason, for a long time. We're blessed, and you're blessed because the student body has different leaders. Sometimes you have a Jeremy Snipes instead of a Brother Darrell Moore that we may have had back then. Brother Moore has been used of God. Brother Jeremy Snipes has been used of the Lord. We had Brother Toby Weaver back in my day, but now you have the joy to have Brother Aaron King, Brother Rob Osgood, and men that love us and help us. And you precious girls with Miss Mary Beth Sigwart, what an amazing lady. And you love her and she loves you, and you all love the Lord. And I thank God for the opportunity to share this semester with you, and you're a blessing. Look forward to sharing a few minutes with you today. We're in John chapter 4, and most of you know what happens in John chapter 3, one of the most quoted verses of Scripture in all the Bible, John 3:16. Can we say it together, everyone? For God so loved the world, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. You know, when you think about that verse, of course, it was quoted, we believe, to a guy named Nicodemus. Don't think Nicodemus may have not have gotten saved the very night that Jesus confronted him, and he confronted Jesus first. I don't know when he got saved. And by the way, everyone you witness to will not get saved the very time you witness to them. I wish I could tell you that that happens. It doesn't always happen that way, and it didn't probably happen with Jesus and Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, if he did get saved that night or shortly thereafter, it took him a while to get it together. He was a secret follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wasn't out front, but he was at the end of the time when Jesus got crucified. He did go pull his beaten, bludgeoned, bloody body off of the cross with Joseph of Arimathea and wrapped him up and put him inside the tomb. And so he definitely put himself out there on that day. He got made fun of other people, said, "Are you a Galilean? Are you a secret follower of Jesus? Why are you trying to defend him or his workers?" And he didn't come out with it, but he did finally. By the way, sometimes people you work with, it might take a little bit of time for them to develop and to get going for the Lord. Don't be discouraged in well-doing. In due season, you'll reap if you just keep on investing in people's lives. But in John chapter 3, Jesus led Nicodemus to the Lord. Nicodemus was very religious, far more religious than most of us in this room as far as religion is. He would have memorized probably Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He would go to church every day. If you think it takes three to thrive, he went every day. He would fast on a weekly basis. He would give of his tithes and offering. That was a no-brainer. But he also would give to the poor. He was very religious. And yet sometimes the religious and the rich are hard to win to the Lord. But Jesus won him. Jesus witnessed to him and told him and gave him illustrations of being born again. And the illustration of the Old Testament of that serpent being lifted up in the wilderness, even so must Jesus, the Messiah, be lifted up. And resonated with him and told him that God so loved the world that it's believing. It's not by works of righteousness which you've done, Nicodemus, it's according to his mercy that he saved you. But then you fast forward to chapter 4 of John, and a lady on the polar opposite of society. She wasn't religious at all. She was wicked. She was perverse. She'd been married 5 times. She was living in adultery at the time of this conversation and confrontation that she had with Jesus. She met him at the well. You're familiar with the story. But he met the well, and Jesus asked her for a drink, and she said, "Why are you talking to me? I'm a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. I'm a woman. You're a man. We don't even communicate with each other." He said, "Well, if you had asked me for a drink, I could give you water that you'd never thirst again." And of course, you know the argument and the banter back and forth that took place. Whether she was broken and humble or arrogant and frustrated, I don't know for sure. You'd have to read between the lines of the scriptures. But I think she definitely was frustrated with life. She was going to the well at noonday, not with all the other ladies in the cool of the morning or the cool of the evening, in the middle of the day, because she wasn't welcome there. She tried to go in the morning, they'd be pulling her hair and throwing water on her or kicking her or pushing her. She wasn't going to be able to get in there because she was a threat to all those girls. She had no doubt had flirtatious intent and challenges that she had done with their husbands, and they weren't going to put up with her there. She was frustrated with life. Finally, after a while, she said, "Well, give me this water that I don't have to come here and draw from the well." And Jesus, of course, confronted her with her sins. "Go get your husband. Bring him back, and then we'll give you the water." He goes, "I don't have a husband." And then he said, "No, that's true. Yeah, you don't have a husband. You've had 5. And the one you're living with now is... you're living in adultery and immorality and fornication." By the way, let me just say to all of us, purity is powerful. And yesterday I had to speak to someone who is no longer able to continue in the ministry. And they sat here. And they were in trouble when they were in college. They didn't tell me that initially when I began working with them some months ago. But now they told me everything. And while they were in college, they had struggles. And they thought, "Once I get married, then I'll be fine." It's not fine. And you got to make sure you're pure, man. Ladies, you got to make sure you're pure. And you ought to pray. You ought to seek the Lord. You ought to go for sin's juggler, or sin will go for your juggler. And this lady was not pure. She had not been with pure men. And there have been all kinds of challenges in her past. But Jesus saw right through her. By the way, the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all that's going. You can't get to a closet dark enough where God can't see what's on your phone and in your mind. And if you got a problem, and you do, if you admit it, and you'll let God help you, you can have freedom. You can. Don't believe that the Satan will not let you do that. He loves you. And he's the captain of purity, and he can bring purity to your life. And I was talking to someone yesterday that works in our ministry and said, Pastor, you just need to know that my wife and I have a great relationship. And Pastor, you also need to know that I don't look at pornography. I work for you, but I don't look at pornography, and I just want to tell you that publicly. And, you know, I've done that to my wife many times. I've said to her, Linda, just so you know, I don't look at pornography. My phone, you can look at anything there. And she said, I feel weird when I tell her that. She doesn't feel weird at all. She loves it. She says, John, thank you. That means so much to me. And that you would do that. And I want to be pure, and you want to be pure. And Satan doesn't want us to be. But this lady wasn't pure. And Jesus didn't have a problem putting his finger on her problem. Well, rather than say, you're right, and I am a wicked lady, he says, you know what, forget it. Let's change subjects. You're maybe a prophet. Let's talk about this. How about religion? Looks like you know some things, and you're a prophet. Let's talk about it. Do we worship in this mountain of Samaria? Because we're not welcome to go down to Jerusalem. We're half-breeds. Or do we worship in Jerusalem? Which places are we supposed to worship? And of course, Jesus said that, you know, that the time cometh and now is when men will not worship in a place. They'll worship God in spirit and in truth. And somewhere along the line, that girl humbled and she said, you know, I do know this, that when the Messiah comes, he'll show us all things. He'll make it clear to us. And then Jesus said, I'm him. She says, I believe it. And she dropped her water pot. She left them there. And she ran into the city. And she ran past the 12 disciples who had come from the city with some food. Probably wasn't a pleasant trip for them. They probably the last place they wanted to go, if it weren't that they were hungry, they would not have gone into the village of Samaria. It wasn't their idea to go through Samaria. It was Jesus' idea. To take a little bit harder route and an unconventional route, because God's will is not always convenient and it's not always logical or comfortable. But he said, we must needs go through Samaria. And I'm sure Thomas probably said, I can't believe this. You know, Peter probably said a bad word. It's like, I don't want it, man. This guy, man, Samaritans can't stand those people. I mean, there was such vile prejudice against the Samaritans. When someone walked by a Samaritan and his shadow went on him, an Orthodox Jew would run home and take a bath. That's some serious prejudice. But nonetheless, they came by and they were surprised that Jesus would talk to this lady and that he would have any association with her. Man, you're out in the middle of out on this well and he's talking to this lady. But she runs past them without her water pots, leaving her water pots there. And Jesus now is come, and the disciples have come to talk to him. Let's look at the passage, if we can. We're chapter 4 of John. And let's look, if we can, please, at verse number 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I want to continue down this passage, but I want to just remind you why you might be at Hiles Anderson College in the spring semester of 2023. And why God saved you and he hasn't taken you home yet. And I think the reason is for what we see in this passage of Scripture. There is someone in the world who needs you to tell them about Jesus. You're saved to be a soul winner. I think it's one of the weaknesses, even our independent fundamental Baptist churches. It's a weakness in my life. It's a weakness in many pastors' lives. It's a weakness in many pastors' wives' lives. It's a weakness in our college. It's a weakness in our staff and our faculty. It's a weakness in our staff downtown and at Hammond Baptist and City Baptist. Because oftentimes we find ourselves being good at pushing a button and organizing an event. We find ourselves being good at getting a lesson prepared or cleaning a building or pushing some paper or doing something, but we're not good at the thing God wants us to be good at, and that is getting the gospel to an unsaved person. Here we find in this passage of Scripture, the disciples come and they see that Jesus and they see him there. They're surprised, but no one's going to ask him, why are you talking to this lady? But they did say, Master, we've got some food. You want to eat? But he doesn't accept their food. He uses the offer of food to turn it into a spiritual application. And he says to them, I have meat that you know not of. And they're thinking, did someone give him something to eat? That girl or some who brought him something to eat? Because we went to town because we're hungry. I know he's hungry. Who fed him? And he says, this is my meat. This is what fills me up. This is what satisfies me to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I'll continue on this passage of Scripture another time, but I want to talk to you about two words this morning from this passage. Number one is satisfaction. Satisfaction. All of us want to be satisfied. I'm not talking about going to eat, and although it's really good when you're hungry to eat something and enjoy it. How many of you think your stomach thinks your throat's been cut right now? You're hungry right now. Every time you swallow, your stomach says thank you. Anybody like that? You're hungry right now. Maybe how many are hungry right now? You honestly say, okay, good. We'll get to eat in just a minute, all right? That'll be great. However, Jesus said what really brings satisfaction to my life is to get involved with my Father in getting people the gospel of Christ and to finish what he started. Young people, I had the joy to teach and to stand in front of hundreds of people every week. I don't deserve that privilege. I didn't ask for that privilege. I don't exactly know why the Lord lets me do it. But I'm very thankful, and I'm humbled by it. If I couldn't do it, I imagine I would miss it. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't do a lot for me. How many people out there? I don't know how many people come on Sunday. I don't know how many people in a room. I'm not good at estimating that. When people say, how many people were at the meeting? I don't know. Someone told me the other day, I was in down Argentina. They said, man, we had almost 1,200 people here tonight. I said, well, that's great. I didn't know that many people. That's great. But that doesn't do something for me. But you know what does something for me? Is to see one person get saved. And then that person grow in the Lord. There's a joy that comes from that. You know, everyone. Girls, it's not God's plan for you to pastor a church, but it's God's plan for you to be a soul winner. It may not be your responsibility to spend the rest of your life spearing a ministry for God, but you know, all of us are supposed to spear people to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are supposed to win people to Christ, and it will bring satisfaction that when I look in an auditorium and I see friends that I have set in their room and their living rooms and their kitchen tables and led them to Christ and then spent hours and hours, and this afternoon I'll do it again, Lord willing, if I can sit with a new convert and walk through a discipleship lesson with them and see them grow and see them learn to give and learn to participate in the work of the Lord and be concerned about other people that need Christ, and we can work together. There's nothing like that. Here's what the Bible says. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with what? Rejoicing. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Strength to keep you going is whenever you are personally impacting someone else for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want all of you to find fulfillment. Fulfillment does not come with a position. If you're coming to college so you can hope you can have a position with a sign on your door and a desk or a class that you can teach, all that is good and well. You're looking forward to one day being sitting on a staff with someone, or maybe even potentially standing behind a pulpit and preaching the gospel of Christ. All that is wonderful. It's good. But the truth of the matter is, never get over the opportunity to share the gospel with one person. Keep a gospel track with you, young person. Ask God every day, God, let me influence someone for the gospel today. Who can I talk to today? Because here's what's going to happen. In the process of doing that, you're going to find what Jesus said, I have meat that you know not of. You're going to find satisfaction that will come to your life through influencing one person for the cause of Christ. The only thing we can take to heaven is people. And there is one more man. Luke's going to heaven because Justin was sensitive and got his mind off a bagel. I'm just joking there. Looked across there and engaged in a conversation with a fellow who God was already working. And that's my second point, to finish his work. That's responsibility. Satisfaction, responsibility. I can give you another word, and that's partnership. We're laborers together with salvation. Always starts with God. God is at work in this world. He's at work with the people you're going to see today. Some of you are going to stand in a gas island, and you're going to be putting gas in your car, and someone's going to pull up across the way. And they're going to be putting gas on the other side, and the Spirit of God's going to say, give them a track. And you're like, why? I mean, they probably won't want to hear it from me. You never know. But you know, the truth of the matter is, how many times, I remember one time handing a track to a fella. He goes, you know, I don't need that. I got one. Let me show you. I got it in my wallet. I said, well, that's great. He showed me, he opened his wallet, showed me the track I was going to give him. I said, that's something. He goes, I have another one at home. He said, it's right here on my, when I go to bed at night, it's on my little shelf. I've just taped it to the shelf. And every night I say that prayer. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. I said, oh, so you know you're going to heaven. He said, no, I don't know that. I said, Tom, you got two tracks. That means God loves you. You got one in your wallet. You got one at home, but you don't know how to get to heaven from here. He goes, no, I don't know. I'm going to heaven. I said, could I show you what that track said? You know, giving the gospel to people. Tom Cavanaugh, he lives with Jesus now because of that conversation and because someone gave him a track two other times before I showed up in his life. Had someone else not given that track, I wouldn't have a conversation with him. It'd be just another time I would plan to see. You know, every time you talk to someone, you're working with God. He's already doing the work. I interviewed a lady recently. She was in downtown Chicago. She'd already come to know Christ in Brazil, São Paulo, Brazil. Two American missionaries, Brother New and Brother Doolittle, back in the early 70s, went down to her place. She got off a bus stop and she looked, and they were showing a video on a white screen of the life of Jesus. She stood for a few moments at the bus stop and looked at that, and then she went on home. And it made her wonder, I want to go to church. She had four little girls and a husband. Her husband was not a Christian, and he was certainly not a good husband. But she went to him and said, honey, could we take the kids to church on Sunday? There's a little church down the street. She didn't know it was a church started by an American missionary. And he said, yeah, I'll go with you. They went that Sunday and they heard the gospel of Christ and they accepted Jesus as their Savior. They went forward and two of the girls got saved. Mama got saved. Dad professed to get saved. But 2 years later, they came up here to First Baptist, or to Chicago, the immigrant here. Didn't speak a word of English, Portuguese only. And had four girls in that little apartment in Chicago. And her husband would be going off on Friday, wouldn't come back until Saturday, Sunday. Sitting there waiting and didn't have any friends. And she said, one night, Pastor, I just put the four girls to bed. And I went into a closet and I closed my door and I said, God, we got to talk. You can understand Portuguese, but no one else understands Portuguese. I don't know a word of English. He goes, I got to get some help. I don't know how to raise these kids. My husband's struggling. I need some help. She said, Pastor, 7 hours later, I was still talking to God in a closet in Chicago. Said the next morning was Saturday morning. My husband's uncle opened the door. There was a knock at the door. And it was a bus worker from First Baptist Church of Hammond. And they came and the uncle said, no, we're Catholic. We don't want anything. Get out. Go, go, go. And then he turned around. He saw me, and he said, hang on. We got some people that go with you. He said, hey, you want to go to church tomorrow? And he said in Portuguese, he said, yes, I will. And she brought those four little girls. Those four little girls now attend our church. She attends our church. You know what that bus worker did? They got involved with God. Because God was already working. And they got involved with finishing the work. Young people, your life matters a lot. whether you'll ever pastor a church or lead a ministry or whatever it is you'll do, you can be used of God to win one, to be where God wants you to be and partner with Him in the life of somebody. I want to ask you, would you be burdened this semester and say, God, please, give me one. Give me one I can win. Give me others I can disciple. Help me to put my time in. Help me to put it in passion and prayer. You know, prayer bursts two things that all of us need: vision and passion. Vision to see what God's doing and a passion to do it with Him. I want to encourage you to make that a matter of prayer as we open up a new semester. Could I encourage you to stand at this time? Can we fill the altars and fill the platform with praying young people that would say, Lord, please help me. There's somebody, God is working. God is working in their hearts and their lives right now, and you can work with Him. God can use you. Maybe in the workplace, it might be in your community. You're still standing, it's not feel like that's what God wants you to do. Would you just be seated where you are? And the instrument's going to play, Brother John, and just quietly while the instrument plays, let's all of us talk to the Lord. God, help me to do the practical things of ministry, but help me to be involved in personal soul winning and influencing others for the Lord Jesus. It's wonderful. Turn a wrench, type a paper, write a letter, teach a lesson, drive a bus, teach a Sunday school class, help in a medical group, sing in a choir. Don't miss the opportunity to talk to someone. Ask God to use you. Only heaven would reveal what God would do if we'd be as sensitive to somebody who needs Jesus today. Let's all stay right where you are just for a moment. I'm going to ask him to play one more time through, and I'll pray and conclude our service today. Someone might be praying in a closet today on your bus ride. It's waiting for you to knock on that door. You think, I've done that so many times. No one has come. You never know what God's doing. Stay still, would you please? Just stay where you are. We'll conclude in just a moment. Our Father, I want to thank you for the sensitivity of this first chapel service. Thank you, Lord, for people willing to come, listen, to respond. I pray that you would use this in a great way to get the gospel to others. Fill us with your power. Help me today to win someone, or at least influence someone for Jesus. Help me today to disciple somebody that could grow into being a great Christian and an effective part of your plan and teamwork. Thank you for these students. Each of them have the humility to stop and pray, whether on their knees or in their places of the auditorium. But Lord, would you please help each of them, comfort them. Father, if we've got some sin in the camp, help us, Lord, to confess it, forsake it, admit it, quit it. Determine that we're not going to live that way. We have to remove some Instagram. We have to remove some YouTubes. We have to remove things that are contrary to what is best for us. Please help us. I pray that the purity that you would see in our hearts would be reason for more effective service for you and among the people that we get to serve with. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.